This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on IFCEA Answers, is it possible to get a handle on big data? The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with IFCEA International. Welcome to IFCEA Answers. Joining us in the studio today, Dan Donne, Chief Innovation Officer with the Defense Intelligence Agency here in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Dan. Joining us on the telephone from San Francisco, Brian Weiss, Vice President with Autonomy, Hewlett-Packard Software. And Brian is joining us from San Francisco. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Max. Glad to be here.
And joining us on the phone from DuPont, Washington is Joseph Opdahl. He is the Director of Marketing, Big Data Analytics and Storage with Intel. Joe, very nice to meet you, and thank you for joining us on the show today.
My pleasure, Max.
All right. This is part two of our examination of big data here on IFCEA Answers. On our last program, we spoke to the CIO at the Department of Commerce, very large civilian agency with a lot of very disparate sub-agencies that utilize big data, the National Weather Service, NOAA, the Census Bureau. And Dan, you are in more or less a similar situation, but with the Defense Intelligence Agency. Your agency has a little different mission. The Defense Department has a different mission and a client base. Tell us a little bit about how big data fits into what you do at DIA.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Max, to be here and to contribute to big data fatigue. This is certainly a challenge that's been discussed in many different fora. And so we won't spend too much time here today on the nature of the problem, which is not new. It's almost as old as computer science.
Sure.
The reason this is a term, a topic that's capturing so much attention today is because of the new possibilities in the solution space.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the commoditization of linear scale distributed compute models, Hadoop, have offered all kinds of possibilities in terms of the way that we process data. Elastic compute coming from the cloud is a new model allowing us to scale up and out, and certainly in memory databasing and other breakthroughs have really created a new world. And this is the reason why the topic is at the fore and so important to many government agencies today.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to break down the problem in a way that's not new. Many folks have spoken about this, but the challenges I want to represent in our agency's context. Many folks speak in terms of the big data challenge of the five V's: volume, velocity, variety, veracity, and value. It's the first one that gets the most attention, the volume of big data. But in fact, that's the one we've made the most progress in attacking. And so of all the five, that's the least important from a challenge context.
Interesting.
Velocity is still an important challenge. Many of the algorithms that were designed for a static data set to scale out in terms of understanding static data have had to be re-engineered to deal with the pace of change of ever-changing data sources. We've made great progress in that area as well. It's the last three that are still really open challenges. Variety is a specific challenge that's important to the Defense Intelligence Agency because of our distributed mission. First, as an all-source intelligence agency, we are called to fuse the broadest variety of intelligence sources to create a big picture. A number of our partner agencies focus on specific what are known as INTs. Those are intelligence sources. Mm-hmm. We are called to develop a fused intelligence picture in defense of our nation. That requires us to bring to bear many disparate sources, and that creates a huge variety challenge. The solutions to this challenge have not made as much progress as we've made in the other areas. The ability for machines to understand data in broad context and to reason on that data at large scale is still limited, although we are making some progress there.
Okay.
The,
Well, I'm sorry, Dan, did you want to finish a thought there?
Yes. So let me dig in just a little bit more on the other two, because, again, these are particularly relevant in today's context. Veracity, that is the ability to put faith, to understand the authoritativeness of data, is an ever greater challenge in when we are able to blend data from so many different sources. It's highly contextual, so what's true in one context may in fact not be true in another context. Big data processing techniques cause us to bring together data, information, and knowledge. And of course, those are very different things. Knowledge represents information in context, mm-hmm. and being able to blend across that context is a big challenge. And I'll speak a little bit more about value and the challenges there later in the segment.
Sure. Brian or Joe, we have about a minute in this particular segment of the show. Can you talk to me a little bit about, based on what you heard Dan describe here, and again, it's perfectly fitting that we're talking about big data because it's a huge topic, but is big data mature or still a fairly young product sector when it comes to IT?
Well, Brian, I can take that one. If you look at it across what's involved in the solution stack, i.e., you know, interfacing into the data and the decision support, there are new and wonderful ways of looking and visualizing the data, as Dan defined it, across the five Vs, right? And then as you move down in the actual solution stack and product category into the analytical insight or discovery suites, right, the actual correlations and algorithm developments, there's a lot of historic progress that has been inherited, right? But there's a lot of innovation that still needs to take place, right? A lot of new suites to work within and new ways of cutting and slicing the data to derive those telling insights, right, and that intelligence. And then underneath that, there's been a lot of innovations, as noted, around like Hadoop or the data operations and data management portion, right? And of course, that's all powered and run on an infrastructure layer. The data operations management, there are some new innovations like Hadoop and NoSQL. However, there's some pretty historic ones like SQL and relational databases, right, of moving and tuning the flow of how you handle that data in the volume space, right? And to Dan's point, right, I think we've got a fairly strong handle on that regardless of the strategy that the agency takes. And then, of course, the infrastructure piece, that's where Intel comes in great degree as far as optimizing the hardware and software performance, right, to really turn around that latency breeds contempt mantra, right, of getting near real-time results or real-time insights to the decision support folks to make the right decisions.
Okay, very good. Joe, we're going to stop there. We have to take a break, but we're going to come back to Brian when we return. Still to come, we're going to take a look at the state of the art as far as the shifting sands of big data are concerned. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
If you're already reaping the benefits of virtualization in your server environment, you're probably thinking about the cloud as your next step forward. HP Converged Cloud offers a complete portfolio of solutions and services to meet your needs. Across private, managed, public, and hybrid cloud, these solutions are built on a foundation of HP innovation and experience. And with HP Cloud System Matrix software, you can literally build a private cloud in one day. To learn more, visit hp.com/cloud.
FCA has been providing an ethical forum for the exchange of information since its establishment in 1946. Its 120 chapters, along with symposia, expositions, and meetings, bring together government and industry worldwide in the defense, homeland security, and intelligence communities. Signal Magazine, FCA's international journal, provides in-depth, relevant, and timely communications and IT news. The FCA Educational Foundation offers professional development courses that address the needs of government and industry and provide content and qualify for continuing education units. Education is an FCA core value, and it invests approximately $2 million annually in scholarships to military veterans, students, and teachers. FCA is the association for global security. Learn more and join today at www.fcea.org. That's www.afcea.org.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guest today, Dan Doney, Innovation Chief with the Defense Intelligence Agency, Brian Weiss, Vice President with Autonomy at Hewlett-Packard Software, and Joseph Opdahl, Director of Marketing, Big Data Analytics and Storage with Intel. Now, one of the biggest things we hear about when it comes to big data is trying to make sense of it all. And Dan addressed this in part in the first part of our conversation today. But there are the there's the technology aspect of all of this. And Brian, I want to start with you this segment to lead us into the state of the art when it comes to the technologies and the techniques behind big data.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Max. You know, back in the previous segments, you asked, you know, what is it mature or is it not? And you know, frankly, the business problem is, I think, maturing in that people have an idea of what's possible. And some of the technological advances that we, you know, we talked about in the previous segment about being able to handle volume, and really what that ends up being is just you have the option of not throwing data away. So with, you know, with prior technologies, whether it's storages or even how much you can do with a standard database model, you kind of have to choose what questions you want to ask beforehand. And so what's new and innovative about that part of the technology is you know, you can really just keep everything. You can keep billions of sensor clicks or whatever it might be. And the hope then is that we're able to innovate around our ability to deliver value and insight on top of that. Now, one of the things that I think is sort of the most both challenging and interesting about the evolving technology sets here is you know, the problem of variety, and the fact that Dan, when you first started out, you mentioned sort of being able to look at and understand a wide variety of different intel sources, and some of the ones that are the most difficult for compute are human information, for lack of a better word. Because it's easy to understand how we might be able to get lots of data points that are structured, you know, what someone did when, where, how long they did it. Those sort of things are all, so you can put them in a grid and you can imagine doing analytics at massive scales that might allow you to be able to see patterns and insight. The really interesting question is when you couple that with the fuzzy information, the data which is, for example, what's this document about, right? If I say the word sick, did I mean that I'm not feeling well, or did I mean that I'm really excited about my new car? Is a face that walks through a picture, how do you understand the meaning of things when things don't match? And so one of the most exciting places where, you know, the compute innovation is coming in here is the ability to use advanced probability modeling, pattern-based algorithms to really almost put the computer on the edge of being able to interpret human information and get human insight out of it. And the unique part of that is, as Dan was mentioning, I now might be able to look at all those structured data points in massive volumes at the same time look at voice, video, audio, and unstructured information in a way that delivers a really unique piece of insight. So that is a new and sort of innovative place where we're driving value at scale.
And Dan, this is an interesting challenge because at the Defense Information Agency, there's a big push to try to get as much good intelligence and good information out to the warfighter, almost at the point of the spear, to use the saying that we do when we talk about getting information to the warfighter. And increasingly, we're talking about audio and video and being able to push out meaningful intelligence that's gathered. It's not just zeros and ones now. It's representations of things. What kinds of challenges does that represent? Because you gotta come up with a pipe to get all this stuff to them.
That's right. There are actually two core challenges there that are fundamentally important. The first is security. Now, remember, as we push this information out, we have a very diverse user base within DoD. So you have warfighters, you have intelligence specialists, you have coalition partners. And coalition partners change according to the events that we happen to be dealing with, whether it's disaster relief or other events fighting together in a coalition operation. Mm-hmm. So this requires a very robust security model to be able to handle this challenge. So we saw with 9/11, we had a problem of not enough sharing. With Manning and Snowden, we see a problem with too much sharing. It seems as if we've come full circle on this because we've not attacked in a fundamental way the core challenges associated with the security model. That this is still an area, one where we're advancing a concept of stakeholder-managed authorization to deal with the complexity of this challenge. Mm-hmm. There's a second piece that's very important about this challenge in terms of getting the right information to the right users at the right time. And that requires us to understand the last V or value. Mm-hmm. We need to know the value of the information so that it can be delivered to the user so we can be more proactive at getting the right information out there. Now, unfortunately, this field has not matured much over the last two decades. So the three keys to discovery are understand the user's context, understand the nature of the information space, and then value the information to get there. The science there is information value estimation. That piece, what has driven the commercial market, is popularity-based value. Hmm. That is very useful in a marketing sense in delivering information to the casual information peruser. However, in an intelligence context, novelty tends to dominate value. Novelty and popularity are almost the inverse, and this requires us to fundamentally rethink the way that we attack this problem.
In the minute that we have available to us, Dan, is there a technological solution to value, or is it a policy question?
So it turns out to be both. I'll tell you, value. So one of the fundamental changes in the paradigm is value is relative. So what may be valuable to you is not valuable to me. So it requires us to understand the context of the need, which there are policy implications associated with that. And there are reasons why there haven't been significant breakthroughs in the commercial space in that area.
We'll pursue that further in our next section. Still to come, can big data ring IT industry cash registers? You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
If you're already reaping the benefits of virtualization in your server environment, you're probably thinking about the cloud as your next step forward. HP Converged Cloud offers a complete portfolio of solutions and services to meet your needs. Across private, managed, public, and hybrid cloud, these solutions are built on a foundation of HP innovation and experience. And with HP Cloud System Matrix software, you can literally build a private cloud in one day. To learn more, visit hp.com/cloud.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are Dan Doney, Innovation Chief with the Defense Intelligence Agency, Joe Opdahl, Director of Marketing, Big Data Analytics and Storage with Intel, and Brian Weiss, Vice President, Autonomy, Hewlett-Packard Software. Now, for the three of you, we've had a nice conversation going in our first two segments here. And I want to try to focus this on industry in the in our last couple of minutes here on the show. Joe, let's start with you. How do you see the business use cases, opportunities, and challenges when it comes to big data? Dan just mentioned value, for example, trying to quantify that and put it in a way that can be dealt with in a technological sense. What do you see there as the challenge in terms of trying to meet that need from a business use case?
Well, I think Dan really hit the nail on the head. When we focus on technologies or accelerating the solutions for big data analytics at Intel Corporation, we're really focused on three core areas that Dan touched on in the previous segment, right? Getting the insights real time or as near real time to the folks that need it quickly, so that there's no latency there. Managing the complexity of connecting the vast amounts of data, whether it's a repository that you already have or there's other data sets that you want to connect to. And then ultimately, securely, making sure that you have confidence not only in the insights that you're receiving real time, but that they're not biased due to the complexity of the data context in which they're gathered, but that it's secure. And that you can share that information with confidence that that insight won't be jeopardized or compromised in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I think some of the other challenges, if you take a step back from an agency perspective, are things around cultural acceptance of these new insights, some of the tools that we focused a lot on in these both of these segments, but also attracting talent, right? Being able to address those three areas of technology well are really going to allow you to share confidently these new insights so you can gain cultural acceptance, and then you'll be able to attract the talent that's interested in solving these new and very creative methods. One example that I love the best, and it's actually a fairly old example, again, to the point that these are not new problems to address, is around where a government agency, actually a municipal, viewed the satellite information available to check compliance to pool tax in the Northeast, where they'd use the satellite mapping to detect if somebody actually had a permit for pools, which was incredibly innovative, and it shared that they were actually progressive in their approach to analyzing, you know, compliance to one regulation or another.
Mm-hmm. Brian, from the standpoint over at Autonomy, very briefly, can you address whether software is the tool that can help handle all of this and provide things like the value that that Dan is talking about?
Yeah. You know, so really what we're focused on at HP is being able to manage that variety and complexity of information. You really have to solve two different problems, and one of which we've touched on here is, how do I get to the data? So you have to think differently about silos of information, and how do I normalize, at least in some way that I can get insight out of it. And then the other one is, you have to make the computer just fundamentally smarter at understanding the human data. And there are use cases, I mean, we see them every single day, and I think you read about a lot of them and sort of maybe customer sentiment, and there's really interesting things that commercial concerns are doing. But I also find, for example, in the case of, for example, the London Olympics, the police force there used some of our technology sets to be able to capture and listen to and monitor broadcast media, television, radio, as well as every single Twitter post, blog post, et cetera, happening in and around London. And that sort of exemplifies the difficulty of this problem, because it's not structured information. It doesn't come across as a one or a zero or a value, but you have to be able to discern that, you know, if somebody says that Michael Phelps is a bomb, and it evolves very quickly and easily, right? So you can't, it could mean any number of different things, and you need to be able, there's no way to be able to accommodate that amount of volume at that level of complexity without putting thousands of people in a room. And even if you did that, you couldn't keep up. And so for us, the example there is where can we provide that human-like value to add to, so the overwhelming amount of information that we might now be able to process from a structured side as well.
Okay. Dan, we're going to give you the last word on, we have a minute left here. Do you have the tools to handle big data at DIA? What's your assessment?
So there is no government agency who has all the tools to keep up with the pace of change. So this is, I want to build on Joe's point of the fundamental cultural change. This is really shifting forcing us to shift the way that we do business. First, we're seeing the rise of the data scientist. So what used to be separate disciplines with specialized IT service providers and mission users, they're now blending together in a role, which is requiring new training practices, new recruiting practices. And additionally, it's forcing us to work more intimately with industry, creating new models for how we bring aboard new capabilities much more quickly than before. Right. We can't solve our own problems alone.
Very good. And with that, creating also opportunities for business people as well. Dan, I want to thank you for joining us today. Dan Doney, Innovation Chief with the Defense Intelligence Agency. Brian Weiss, Vice President with Autonomy at Hewlett Packard Software. And Joe Opdahl, Director of Marketing with Intel in San Francisco. Our special thanks to the FCA Intelligence Committee for production help with today's show. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer. The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search FCA. That's AFCEA. That's also where you can download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of FCA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at FCA.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.